Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Take Two Radio. We are pleased to bring you interviews with people in the entertainment and music industry, discussions and recaps of the four remaining daytime soaps. That's The Bold and the Beautiful, The Young and the Restless, General Hospital, and Days of Our Lives, as well as various other shows. For upcoming and previous shows, check take2radio.com. That's with the number 2. And you can find us on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, iTunes, and other streaming apps. Follow us on social media at Take Two Radio, and thanks for listening.
Well, good evening, and welcome to Take Two Radio Soaps. I am sitting in the host seat this evening. David and Pam are otherwise engaged. Pam, we hope you feel better, and David, hopefully all the improvements that they are doing on your apartment will make you giddy with glee. But I am here with Candy Girl. Hi, Candace.
Hi, everybody.
And we have Vinny with us. Welcome back, Vinny.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be back.
It's good to hear you, man. Unfortunately, we're starting off on a bit of a somber note this evening, or afternoon or morning, depending on when you're listening to the podcast version of this. But if you're with us tonight, the soap world was rocked by some news. And unfortunately, Johnny Wachter, who played Brando Corbin on General Hospital, was murdered. And it's sending shockwaves through the soap community. Some beautiful, touching tributes from castmates. I saw, you know, Nancy Legrand,
Laura Wright.
Thank you. Laura Wright, Sophia. Sophia had a beautiful message. And first and foremost, we want to send our loving condolences to his family and friends who are reeling because of the senselessness of it all. From Take Two Radio Soaps, you're in our prayers, you're in our thoughts. And just you guys who listen to us on a regular basis know how we are here. So my public service announcement is to please separate the tragedy from the drama that we love to indulge in. You know, there's one thing to stuff like this playing out on screen. There's another thing when it involves families and parents and siblings, you know, people that love this man, and please be respectful out there. Most of what I've seen so far has been, but there's always a few that want to be all salacious and you know, bring out the conspiracy theories and things like that. Honestly, you know, the police will do their job, and we have high respect for the justice system in this country, hopefully, you know, but in the meantime, you know, remember that behind every tweet or post that you put out there, there may be a family member or someone, you know, even tangentially in his life, who are reading that. So let's keep it love and respectful rather than playing in the conspiracy theories and the what about this and the I heard that. I know that, Candace, you know, you're in the soap world on an almost daily basis in your various capacities. So I've seen that, you know, you've had some really, I don't know what to say, beautiful is not the right. You've been quite honest and good about what's been put out there. Where are you right now?
This actually hit me a little personal because for those who, I'm an open book. So my mom was taken away sort of like this. And the thing is, Johnny was actually a year older than my mom when my mom was taken away. And so when I saw it, now, here's the thing. I saw a post 2 hours before the news, and it had Johnny's picture, and it was black and white, and it was a heart, and I didn't know what was going on. And then we heard what happened, and first and foremost, my heart goes out to his mother and his two brothers, because a parent should never bury their child. I've always been really, you know, on point with that. The thing is that, look, I said this, but whatever your beliefs are, quote unquote, at the end of the day, an innocent man's life was taken away over something, and I'll say it, stupid. As we got more details, we found out this man was protecting a female. And let me just say right now, that's a gentleman. That's a hero, and that's a gentleman, because he was walking a female to her car during the nighttime when all this happened. He didn't put up a fight. He didn't do anything. He literally was protecting somebody, and some heartless, cruel person decided, oh, you know what, let me take his life away because I wanted to convert him. So where I'm at right now is that we lost somebody full of promise and hope. And the thing is that he was 37. That's still young. Like, he didn't even crack. Like, yeah, he did General Hospital. He did Army West. But, you know, he had a future.
Yeah.
And sadly, he's not going to be, you know, I don't know his status, but he's not going to have any kids. He's not going to be able to do this. Like, he literally woke up Saturday morning, just like the rest of us. I've been using this. He woke up Saturday morning thinking the same thing. Oh, Saturday, man, I got to go to the market. I probably got to go do this. And then he thought Sunday. He thought Monday. He thought Tuesday. And it's just heartless. And I hope they find whoever did it. And I'm sorry. I'm going to be really quiet because there are certain things that I want to say that I don't want to offend, but I do want to say, I hope # justice for Johnny.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I'm going to say this. It doesn't matter, because I'm going to address this real quick. It doesn't matter if it was California, New York, Boston, Maryland, Virginia, whatnot. This is a problem that we need to solve regarding gun control. And that's all I'm going to say. So my thoughts and prayers goes out to the family, both his biological family, his General Hospital family, because my God, General Hospital, again, and to everybody in Dayton, because I also saw posts from Eric Martzoff. I saw people from Bold and Beautiful and Young and the Rosses and Dave also, and the Bay also sending their condolences out as well. And so this wasn't just a DHA. This is Dayton. This is why, again, I say this all the time. Daytime, the soap community, we can bicker and argue all day long. But when one of ours is taken away, we come together. And rest assured, # justice for Johnny.
Absolutely. I, you know, thinking of what you just said, I saw a beautiful post from Scott Clifton. Honestly, my in-laws are here. It's been a very long and interesting week. I have not been on social media as much as I usually am. But absolutely, oh my God. When something happens in the soap world, we do see, you know, there's rivalries, there's fun, you know, kind of poking at each other and things. And, hey, I did that storyline 5 years ago. But when it really comes down to it, the soap community comes together and really is there for each other. Vinny, you know, we haven't, you know, you've been pretty busy in your life as well, which is we're very proud and happy that you could join us tonight. What are your thoughts?
Honestly, I was at my family cookout when I saw the post, and I had to do a double take. I think I read the post because the first I heard of it was seeing John Lindstrom's post on Instagram, and it, like, shocked me. And then, you know, just kept reading the different posts and getting news about what happened, and I was thrown for a loop, and I think I'm still to the point where I'm speechless. And, you know, it's like you never want to – you never really think about knowing the actors in real life unless you have a personal relationship with them. But when you're watching, you know, daytime TV, whether it's soaps or any kind of thing, anything that you're really invested in and that you've, you know, been around and been in for a long time, you really feel like you know them. So when, you know, it kind of brings me back to the feeling I had years and years ago when Owen Hart passed away. And you know, and heard about it, you know, granted different circumstances, different situations completely, but when you're watching somebody on TV, when you're, you know, you're really getting to know that character, but also, you know, it's like you read the touching tributes from co-stars and even people that had never been in stuff with them. It really hurts. It's like you feel the loss, you feel the grief. And Candace, I agree with you. This is, you know, it's a bad situation. It could have happened anywhere. It didn't have to be LA. It could have been anywhere. And, you know, I just hope that the, you know, the police department in LA, you know, they find the people that did it. And again, over a stupid catalytic converter, like, you know, it's just absolutely ridiculous. You know, he did, you know, he was heroic. He stood in front of his coworker, you know, and just senseless. That's all. It's just senseless.
And I'm glad that Candace brought up gun control, and you know, we all need to really think about this. There are more guns loose in this country than there actually are people. We have almost 5 million more guns in this country than we have people. But I do want to do the second round of public service announcement and say, you know, there is a young lady who will never be the same. And let's be kind to her as well. You know, she is going to live with this for the rest of her life. And, you know, let's be kind to her as well.
Yeah.
Are we that heartless in the world that we have to do, like, you could have went to Pet Boys and got a converter, okay? You could have went on eBay or Craigslist or Timo or whatever to get it. You literally had to do, and I'm not just saying this because, look, it happens all the time. Crime happens all the time. But in this particular
But you know what, Candace? Honestly, I'm going to take it down to the basis of base levels. You could have raised that gun. You could have fired a warning shot up into the air and said, okay, I'm busted. Let me get, you know, you ain't going to follow me. I got a gun, and get your butt up out of there. Was it worth it? Well,
this is Candace doing the reenactment, okay? So from what the report was, allegedly, Johnny and his his friend, coworker, it was nighttime. He walked into the car. He saw, allegedly, this is what the brother of the report said, he thought that the car was being towed.
Yeah.
Okay, I can see that because, you know, tow zones are a thing, But he didn't go over there confrontational. That's the thing. He didn't go. He just was like, hey, what's going on? And the guys just had a gun. Like, to me, like, yo, this, the more I'm thinking about it, the more I'm just, like, really irritated because it should not have happened. It really shouldn't have happened. And I, like you said, I feel for the young lady because she is going to have post-traumatic stress from this. I did see somebody did set a GoFundMe. I think it was his godmother. I want to make sure that was legit because that's another – we'll talk about that in a minute. But it's just, again, my heart goes out to everybody who knew this young man. And, you know, he was supposed to be at the GH Fan Club weekend this summer.
Yep.
And, you know, it, again, gone too soon. Gone too soon. Just, it's just sickening. We got to do something.
Well, before we actually dive into our shows themselves, we also got some good news this week about the Gates. It has reached its third out of a few milestones that it needs. it is definitely getting the time slot in early 2026. So now we're gonna start all buying. Their posts are already up. I mean, I've seen multiple ones about Tabiana Ali. I personally, from what representatives told me on Thursday, she is very happy in her role at General Hospital. And anything that you see online right now is a rumor. However, I mean, if they want her to be a showrunner, I mean, it would be hard to turn down. But as of right now, those are rumors. Tabiana is not in conversation with the Gates, but we have a go. It is going to be on our screens. And so, you know, 4 will go to 5. And the fact that it is, you know, it is based around, you know, a minority based soap opera. We haven't seen that since Generations. I am absolutely thrilled. You know, there are quite a few on canvas on various shows that I think would be amazing. But, what you know, when we think about all the talent that has come and gone, and even talent that we've spoken to on this program, like Tanya, my brain immediately goes to Victoria. So, you know, stay tuned to Take Two Radio Soaps. Whenever we have information, we will definitely share it with you guys.
I have something that I can contribute to. I, as the executive producer of Forever and a Day, the award-winning Forever and a Day, I can also say that nobody has reached out to Janelle Allen yet. So, you know, there you go, folks. Because that's who I put. That's my draft pick. It's Janelle Allen going to the Gates. I'm just I want to see Janelle, but there's some other people from the Forever and a Day cast that I would like to put on there. And I'm like CBS and NBC back in the day. Y'all remember when Tuesday Down Like Nancy Wilkerson ended? Everybody was like, okay, I want this person. I want that person. I want this person. But yeah, it's going to be really exciting because I do want to see who they get. I do. I'm like,
you know, it's been such a hot minute. Think about it, Candace. You know, in our soap lifetimes, right? We had Poor Charlotte. We saw the transition from the, you know, from Loving to the City. Interesting. You know, I think both of us are a little young to remember the beginning of Santa Barbara, but we had Poor Charles. We had Sunset Beach. We had Passions. Do you remember the fanfare leading up to Passions when it came out? Or even Sunset Beach, too. There was so much, you know. Well, Charles was a little more muted. It was linked to General Hospital. But, man, a completely out-of-the-gate soap. We have not seen that. And the Bold, yeah, even the Bold and the Beautiful. I was a kid, but, yeah.
But we still was there for that. I will say that, you know, because you said something, I also want to give a shout out to Passions because Passions was very diverse as well.
Absolutely.
It was a supernatural, so, you know, like, that was the thing. Sunset Beach also has, you know, diversity in it as well. I think it's more so with the Gates. It's not, I mean, obviously it's been 30 years since we had enough, you know, like, because there are connecting generations to this, but I think the big thing for a lot of fans is that it's Procter & Gamble that's a part of this. I think that's what's getting everybody kind of just like, whoa, wait a minute. Yeah, like, you know, again, we got a new network soap. We never thought we would have a brand new network soap because the last one was Passions that was a network. And the thing is that there's, I'm going to be honest, there's a lot riding, if you go by social media standards, a lot of things that's riding for the gate. I will say this, the day that the gate is open, because I am officially the gatekeeper, I've been saying that, hashtag gatekeeper, I'm going to be watching. And I'm going to be honest, I'm not going to have, and Michelle, when I say this, girl, you understand what I'm saying? I'm not putting everything onto this show because the other shows aren't giving me what I want. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, okay, Bold
yeah.
and Beautiful is a key song. The Dates is it. So the Dates is going to give you everything that I want. And then if the Dates doesn't, then what are you going to say? So I'm excited for the Dates. I can't wait for the promos to come out. I can't wait for the casting news to come out. I can't wait for the merchandise. Oh, that's the merchandise. I just can't wait. I'm excited. I am excited for this transition that we're going to go from having four soaps. Yes,
three
is still a network. One is streaming. I can talk about Hollyoaks in a minute, but we got Neighbors. We got the digital audio. Soap is not dead, y'all. I just want to point that out. So, Vinny, what are your thoughts about the date?
Honestly, I haven't been following much of the news about it. I am excited for it to be coming on because it does show I don't want to say a rebirth of the soap industry, but more of a confirmation that the genre is still strong. The fact that there's a new soap coming out and the fact that it will revolve around, you know, a more diverse cast, but feature a more minority cast being around, you know, rather than the norm, so to speak, you know, that everybody gets on GH for not being, you know, as diverse as it could be. I'm anxiously awaiting it. I feel like it's going to have a definite impact. And I'm not saying ratings-wise. I'm not saying that, you know, it's going to take ratings from the, you know, existing soaps. It will be interesting to see the time slots that it's given across the nation, being that, you know,
CBS is going to... It's definitely going to be 2 o'clock for it. Yeah.
Okay. So it will be, in most markets, up head-to-head against General Hospital.
Yep.
So now, you know, now it's almost like, well, you know, it brings me back to the Monday Night Wars, you know, Nitro being launched against Monday Night Raw. You have the new upstart against the established show. But, I mean, the fact is that in today's television watching, you don't have to watch anything live. So chances are, even when it is on, I'll still be watching it on Paramount Plus. I won't be watching it on, you know, live on TV. So, so it's one of those things where I'm happy that we're getting another soap opera. I'm happy that the genre is still strong, and I can't wait to watch something brand new.
I can't wait to watch something brand new, and you know, I love, if you guys remember, or Candace, you know, Sunset Beach came out with a bang, and it started with a mystery. And, you know, I was younger and a different kind of person then. I was enthralled. I was thrilled. But my word of hope/caution is that we really build whatever the foundation of the story, you know, of the overarching, you know, the soap operas are about families. They're about either families and a business or families. They're about setting us up so that we connect with a family, with a group of people. So, you know, if y'all want to come out of the gate with a bang, God bless, but please put the work in to the foundation so that we connect with the people, with the characters that you're giving us, the foundation, so that it carries beyond the excitement of we finally have a new soap, and 3 months we don't start to see a declining interest because you came out of the bank, you came out of the, you know, the stall with wanting to, you know, sprint and win that race rather than building the foundation that will support the storylines a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now.
I have to chime in a little bit with you. I think, here's where I'm going to agree with you, but also give you a different point of view. I think that the soap fans, while if you're on social media, it's a very toxic place to be, but soap fans don't have the kind of tribalism that, say, wrestling fans have. So I think that I agree with you that, you know, they have to build a strong foundation and, you know, build the storylines, the characters, get that going. But I don't see it failing. Let me put it that way. I think the fan base for soaps in general is strong enough to have it survive.
And I hope and pray you're right, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm gonna say one phrase, and Candace, I think you'll get exactly what I mean. The Bay.
Yeah.
Girl?
Yeah.
The Bay.
I'm gonna say this real quick. Because I'm hearing both of you guys, and I'm agreeing with you guys, but I'm also disagreeing with you. Because here's the problem. Here's the difference. With the Bay has been around for 10 years. And in that 10 years, a lot of things have changed. Streaming services has become way more popular than ever.
Yeah.
We now have the Netflix. We have the Amazon. 10 years ago, we still had YouTube. We had the beginnings of Netflix, right? Okay.
Right.
When it came to networks, and yes, I'm using Passions. Passions was sort of kind of thrown under the bus, and there was a reason for that. Because it took over a soap that was unfairly canceled and didn't really get the true payoff that it truly deserved, and that was Another World. With Port Charles, it was a connect to General Hospital. We knew they did it right. They ushered in a new crop using the old. And with Sunset Beach, all you had to tell me was Aaron Spelling, and I was hooked. Because I was like, Aaron Spelling is doing a daytime soap? The man who gave me 90210, The Heights, and Melrose Place. And Malibu Shores too. Hey, girl, you giving me a soap opera during the day with the date. Now, fast forward, let's be honest. We had, like you just said, I mean, okay, it's going to be on against General Hospital. You can still watch General Hospital at 2 o'clock, or you can watch the date, but you have the alternative to watch it on Paramount Plus or Hulu that night. It's not like it was back in the day when you literally had As Law Turns,
Another
World. Yep. You barely had As Law Turns, One Life to Live, Another World. So you had to pick and choose your battles, just like you brought up the Monday Night Wars, and I was there for that. There was sometimes the first hour, I'd be watching Nitro because I wanted to see what was going on. But I knew that depending on what the situation was, I would have to watch one of these shows like to find out what was going on to keep me interested. And that's what today's is going to have to do. Today's audience has a very short attention span. Let's keep it honest and real. We have a very short attention span because there's so much being presented to us that we're like Baskin Robbins. We want to try all the flavors, right? But we also know we have a short amount of time to really enjoy it. The Gates is going to have to do this. And I'm gonna be honest. The first episode, you have to pull me in hard.
Yes.
You have to pull me in. I'm not talking about razzle dazzle. I'm just saying let's just say they get Darnell Williams or they get Monty Sharp. I'm fine with that, but that's what I'm more fine with. I want to see the storyline. I want to know what the storylines are. I want the introductions. At the end of the episode, I want to be like, oh, yeah, I'm turning into Marcus. Oh, my God. I can't be like, whoa, oh, my God. I can't believe, right? But you also, even though, like, it's the first week, it's introduction week, right? But at the same time, like Santa Barbara, it started off with a mystery. Loving started not so much with a mystery, for something to intrigue you. You're going to have to do that, to be honest. And we, the audience, we have to give this stuff a chance and not be like, okay, ooh, this is a hot thing. Okay, my ex-boyfriend or my boyfriend or whatnot isn't giving me what I want. Let me switch over and see this person. Oh, this person isn't giving me what I want. Let me switch back. You're going to have to give it a chance. You're going to have to give it a chance. And I think Michelle's been in the game, y'all, for over 30 years. She knows what everybody is thinking. She's seeing stuff on social media. It ain't like some other writers, I ain't going to say no name, who do not have a clue as to what is going on and the hype and everything. But let me just say this. She's not really doing – she's doing this for the genre. She's not doing this for fandom.
She's doing this for the genre, and she's doing this to prove that it is still a viable medium. And we are all Candace is absolutely right. You know, there's going to be a lull period. That's, if you think back to any soap that has premiered, you know, over the last 40 years, there's a lull period, and it has to, because you have to build that. Why are we coming back every day? And it can't be a shot every other episode. Somebody shot, somebody falls down the stairs, somebody loses a baby. So we're going to have to give it that, you know, that out of the gate introduction, and then feel and learn and grow with the show, over those first couple of months.
Yeah.
All right. We have got four shows that we have to recap
Anthony,
this.
Anthony, you forgot something. You forgot something majorly important. Who did it?
Wait, Kevin.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I said you forgot something very important. How dare you? How did you forget
what I forgot?
This? Next Friday, hello, Daytime Emmys.
Oh, my God, yes.
I took over this segment. Hi, everybody. So next Friday.
Candace, we lost you again. Next Friday on CBS will be the Daytime Emmys. Wait, am I here? Vinny, do you hear me?
Yes. Yep, I hear you. You're here.
Oh, okay. All right. Hopefully, oh, Lord, I don't know how to get Candace back on. And Pam, I hope she didn't drop. Oh, my God. The perils of doing a live show, folks.
Nothing can go wrong if it's live.
All right, well, we wait for Pam and Candace to work that out and get her back up on here. Vinny, what show do you want to start with today? It's been a hot minute since we've talked.
It has been. And honestly, because of my schedule, the only shows that I'm actually caught up on are General Hospital. And I can't even say The Bay, because while I'm going through, I'm up to date on The Bay as much as is available on on-demand streaming. But that's something I go over on my show, Dockside at the Bay. But either way, the only show that I'm really up to date on in terms of the main four is General Hospital. I just don't have the time to watch anything else at this point.
All right. You know what? I am going to say, let's start with Days, because you're relatively caught up. Let's start with Days.
Somewhat.
We get Candace back at some point. I personally am in that waiting period with Days right now. There's some juicy stuff, which is good, but honestly, oh boy, Ron, my friend, who, you know, Ron and I have bowled together. We know each other. Ron, Anthony, you know, big gay wedding, Anthony, you remember? Yeah. We've been telling you this for a couple of months now. You need to let AJ out the bag. EJ out the bag. It's time. You set it up so perfectly, and you keep pulling back. There's a void in the canvas at this point. And the void is this. we are used to, especially with gays, we are used to the being the overarching, the one that they can never quite pin it on, but we all know who's pulling the puppet strings. And instead, you keep giving us these temporary villains that fill a need for the moment, but you have the perfect character to step in and re-Phoenix as the junior Phoenix, as the new Phoenix. And you got an actor. Dan is so damn talented. You've got an actor who can pull it off. You had the opportunity a couple of years ago to do it with Kristen, because Kristen could have been that character too. But, you know, you sent her through all, you know, she was a trapeze artist. She rode the elephant. She was dancing with the little dogs in the tutu. At this point, you know, it's not believable for her to step into the Phoenix role. You really have to give us that with EJ.
And that's just the thing. Yeah.
Go ahead. No, I was just saying that, with everything, it was everything with Nicole at this point. You know, you teased us with Susan. You teased us so many times in the last year. This could be the point that breaks and says, you know what? I am my father's son, and I'm going to supersede my father. Because don't forget, there was always that love-hate thing between him and Stefano
right.
Proper. You know, go ahead, Vinny. I'm talking a lot.
Oh, no, go ahead. I'm listening. I've been watching the news about it. I know that Jude was reunited with Nicole as his mother, or at least that's going to be happening relatively soon. I like EJ. I think EJ has the cadence to be a big time villain, and I agree with you that they need to really let him loose.
Okay, I'm back. I was just talking about and I totally okay. So let me just clarify that as of the 17th of this month, the Days of Our Lives writers are starting to come back. Ron's script will be this Friday. His return will be this Friday. Here's the thing about EJ. You have an actor who can actually do it if you give him the material, whether it was, you know, the set writers or the regular writers. And I feel as though, and I said, I've been very vocal about this. To me, we should have seen Dark EJ when Susan died.
That's what I just said. Yep.
Yeah. So now have the whole thing of him keeping the secret about this baby. But you know what? Kudos to you, Dave, because I bet a lot of people did pick up on this. This is what happened to EJ when he was a baby.
Yeah.
Anthony, remember? Like, the irony is, so I don't know, Vinny, I don't know if you knew this or not, but EJ for a while was passing as John and Marlena, like grandson and so when Susan, like, it was a whole bunch of stuff, but yeah, like, you know, it was just a whole bunch of mess because for years, like, Susan and John, like, it, before we sound off Stefano, John and Susan / Kristen was the same, as you know. And so he was being passed off because Kristen took the baby and was trying to get, that was the way to get John to be in love with her and all that stuff. So for some couple of months and years, John thought EJ was his baby until the truth came out.
Mm-hmm.
So now, see, what Dave has done with this storyline, the Nicole storyline, you know, is now Nicole is the Sammy. EJ is, well, EJ. But also Stefano as well. But there is something missing, and it's like, Dave can do it if you give him that material. But also with this whole storyline is that you have two couples. Each of them has gone through it both romantic as well as kids, because EJ and Nicole has lost 3 kids. Eric and Nicole have not, I mean, with Holly, that counts, but Eric has no kids. So he has a kid, but he don't know that's his kid. But another factor, too, is, and I think we all can say it, is the reason why this storyline, it, again, great performance, but there's something missing, and I think it's because of what happened behind the scenes.
Yeah.
We all know Marty is leaving soon.
This storyline, it was the comeuppance to Nicole for all of Nicole's past years. But the thing is, you spent so much time making Nicole our heroine, our person that we're ready to ride and die with. She made her mistakes. She's atoned for her mistakes, et cetera, et cetera. And so if you were going to do the storyline, you needed to take it all the way. And you needed to be those, for lack of a better way of saying it, those bitch slap moments in her face, which we didn't get. And so it kind of fell flat on the comeuppance of Nicole. It's falling flat on the dynamics between the two couples and, you know, and the four main, entities involved. And at the same time, you know, it's leaving EJ looking, I don't even know what to say. You know, this is Stefano's son, you know, and as much as we want to say about Susan, I love Susan. I will always love Susan. But there's some deviousness in her, too. You know, she's not the light to Stefano's dark. She's more the, you know, the cream that you put in to soften the flavor, so to speak.
Well, not only that, but like, okay, with this storyline, again, because I'm like thinking, I was looking at the scene with Nicole and Holly. And Ashley and Ari have great, like, mother-daughter angst. And I'm like, well, dang, you know, Ari isn't even going to be there much longer. Like, I shouldn't be invested in this. Because to me, it reminds me of a Mona and an Erica and a Kendall, a Dinah and Vanessa relationship. That's how I look. Like, I'm, right? But then you have EJ, and here's the thing, because I had this debate. Is EJ wrong for what he's feeling? Here's the deal, folks. EJ is sick and tired of losing out on certain things. And the thing is that, yes, Nicole, I'm sorry to say this to you, Nicole, but this is on you. Because let's go back in time. Okay, like Wayne's World. Okay? You can't have Eric. Your fallback is EJ. But you do love that man, too, because EJ accepts you for who you are. Eric, he has to, I'm going to keep it real. He loves you, but you have certain flaws that he can't, you know, look over. Eric, you ain't no saint either, even though you're a high priest. But still, you have your issues, too. EJ feels as though I'm always losing out on something, on certain things. He's a demur. A demur is not supposed to lose anything. So a little bit of that demur blood is in him. But then again, Nicole, here's the thing. EJ could have told you the truth. He would have said something to you once he found out from Salone. And by the way, EJ telling Salone, you got 24 hours to get that baby back. Well, guess what? I'm going to get you, and you got to go. That was a true demur moment right there. I'm like, ooh, you,
that,
Salone, you about to go to
the I'll give you
island?
That. Yep.
I was like, you're about to go to that island that everybody else is on. But then I was like, okay, then you get Nicole drunk. And I'm like, there we go. This is how it all started. You got drunk, Nicole. You were biscuit gate and everything up like that. And you slept with her. Now you go ahead. Your whole world is blowing up. Instead of turning to EJ, you go ahead and start kissing her. And I knew EJ was going to see it. And that's when I was like, you know what, EJ? Look, I ain't mad at you, but I will get where you're coming from. Because, again, EJ's not stupid. He knows that if the truth comes out that Eric and Nicole are the biological parents of this baby, it's over for him and Nicole. Even though he's asked Nicole repeatedly, do you love me? Do you love me? If Eric was, you know, still would you still be with me? But EJ, here's the deal too. If Sammy came walking in and was like, I'm single and ready to mingle, EJ, would you drop Nicole for Sammy?
Yep.
This is what I like to call a messy situation of a situation, but out of all of them, I feel bad for Eric. This is who I go to, you guys. Eric, I feel bad because he's lost another child. This is his technically fourth child that he's lost, even though, again, he doesn't know that that baby is really his. I feel bad for EJ because he knows what's at stake. He's not stupid, you guys. He knows what's at stake. I feel bad for Nicole because – actually, no. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me go back. I feel bad for Holly. I know she shouldn't have talked to her mother the way she did, but you got to understand Holly's POV, and she's a brat. And then you have Nicole. And I think Nicole doesn't understand that this is her karma for what she did to Mia. Oh, y'all bringing up Mia.
Yep.
You remember me? Yep.
I do.
And Sammy.
Yep.
And for what she said to Jade. I can't forget that. And I understand, again, what they were trying to do with Nicole. But to me, it just didn't work out like where I'm just like, oh, she's the heroine of the storyline. No. This is her karma because she's done this before to Sammy. She literally had Cindy not even be there for the first year. Then with Mia. Then technically, with Dave. It's just a bunch of mess of a mess. So what I'm trying to say is this storyline is entertaining. Greg Vaughn, get your Emmy reel together. Dan, get your Emmy reel together too. But I can't connect because Ari's leaving.
And I agree with you. You know, guys, before you got back on, what I was saying is they have turned Nicole into the heroine at this point, and they want us to, but they're not giving the status to those of us that have been watching for 30-some-odd years and know all the things that Nicole did. I mean, girl, do you remember when Eric was a photographer before he ever went away the first time? You know,
I remember.
That history cannot be. Right? So I have a question to both of you, and it's not even about the current storylines itself, but are we hitting or are we missing with our team set, with our younger set?
Okay.
Holly, et cetera, et cetera.
Vinny, you go ahead first because this is a topic that I was pathetic to this weekend, actually. So, like,
okay, Vinny.
I mean, I know as much as I do. The only two teams that I really have seen are Tate and Holly. And I wasn't really into the storyline too much. I feel like, they had Holly in a coma for far too long.
I agree.
And Tate, I felt like EJ, Tate in jail and then in the halfway house just based on a vendetta without actual proof. You know what I mean? So there was a lot of missteps, in my opinion, that went on far too long. And I get part of the reason why was, Nicole was gone for a little while during that time, which is why, Holly was in the coma so they could do that. But I don't know. I really can't comment too much on what's currently going on because, like I said, I'm not caught up on it.
Candace, go ahead, girl.
Okay, so when it comes to the teen scenes on soap, we have to remember that some of these writers, not all, don't know how to write for teens anymore. It's not
right.
Like it used to be like 20 years ago, which, by the way, Dave, you're so wrong for doing this. Because when you brought this up, I died. I was like on the floor laughing. The youngins, Tate and them, brought up the Last Blast crew. And I was like, you know what? I had to laugh because that's what some of these kids do. Like when they hear, look, we all guilty of this. When our parents say, back when I went to high school, okay, that's fine. That's back when y'all went to high school. We're talking about me. We're talking about my class. We was the best class. We did things right. We know we ain't gonna be like the Fivefold. I thought that was funny because in reality, the Last Blast crew, we actually grew. Dave, you did a really good job with that because we literally watched all of these kids grow up. We don't have that on soaps anymore. Yes, there's some people. Let me clarify this, that we have watched grow up on TV. Jeannie Francis is one of them. But we didn't see her in high school. We saw her in college. Heather Tom. Yeah, well, I mean, they really, she was born in school. But we don't have a Jonathan Jackson who grew up from 11 years old on up. We don't have an Amber Tamblyn. We do have Eden McCoy. We've seen that girl grow up. We have Hudson West
right
over there. We don't have a team scene where the writers gave them the material for us to really sink our teeth in. It's not, you know, things have changed in the world. It really has. But you need to have that core group to usher in for the next wave. Okay?
Oh, absolutely.
So to me, like, even like, okay, Young and the Restless. Yeah, Lily, Kevin, and all of them, they were young. That's why it's called the Young and the Restless. But you don't see, I mean, yeah, we got Connor. We'll get to him later. But we don't have the Johnnies. We don't have the Lucy, the little cat Kate. We don't have them. Both the beautiful, the young core that they kind of had, we're now seeing as the leads of the show. Dave Rollins, like I said, I give them credit because we are branching out a little bit. General Hospital and Dave. It's just the fact that the writers are not connecting to giving them that platform where they can intertwine with the storyline. Dave Rollins literally, like, if I have to be honest, Dave, you know, gave us the high school drama, you know, where there was the couples, there was prom, there was, you know, issues with dealing with their parents because some of them couldn't understand certain things. And now,
or somebody
like,
walked in on their parent with somebody that they could not get over, the birth
right
of Sammy.
Right. But you had people who was invested in that. But we also got to remember the target audience, they're not for that. They're not for that
yes
anymore.
And I agree with you, Candace, right, but let me throw this at you. We do know who these kids' parents are, and soap opera trope is you've got to give us something from the parent to link that character, either something from the parent that they're like the parent or something that they are fighting their entire life against becoming because of the parent.
But here's the thing. Okay, with Kate and Holly, okay, here's the deal. Oh, I'm gonna, okay. With Nicole and Brady, let me start with them. They were the third choice parent for Nicole, okay? But you busted them up, you clean cut them, whatnot, so you can have Kate and Holly be the quote-unquote Romeo and Juliet minus the suicide of Salem, where they're not supposed to be around each other. They're forbidden to be with each other. It's a problem. You rush the storyline. We know who Tate is. We know who Tate Tide is. We know who Holly is. 1 minute, Holly is 5 years old, and now she's eight, and now she's 16 years old, and she's still popping,
yep,
boy crazy,
yeah,
and she's acting out. You did not give us a slow build to their parents, especially because, and I'm going to be honest, it reminds me of, oh, God, what is his name? Trip and Allie.
Yes.
It was,
but wait, you know what,
was,
though? Let's play the contrast for 1 second, though, because where they did it right years ago was JJ and Abigail. You couldn't have done it more right with those two characters as far as building them into the legacy based on the history, et cetera, but still playing into the current way of telling soap.
Like, you could have, like, another factor is, like, okay, Days of Our Lives, Sierra and Theo. We've seen these two grow up. Like, when I say, like, they, like, Sierra was a little heathen. I'll be honest, Sierra Brady, girl, you used to steal jewelry and think you were slick. But you wrote Theo, poor Theo. He was, like, but he was her best friend. That was buddy. we saw them grow up, and then, you know, obviously Torres Central happened, and then we saw what happened. You don't have that investment anymore, and it's kind of sad because, you know, look, let's be honest. One day we're not going to have Deidre and Drake or Stephen and Mary Beth. We're not going to have Eric Braid and Marilyn Thomas Scott and all of them. You need to start doing this. So all of you guys are guilty. General Hospital, however, gets a little pass, though, because they are doing stuff with their youngins when it's, you know, convenient because, you know, school, summer, and all that stuff in the union. But, yeah, so I just wish that was – I wish it was like it was back in the day, but I understand why it's not like that.
And I can tell you from somebody who just started, you know, watching – like I said, this was really my first year watching all four soaps. And mm-hmm. when Kate and Holly came back to Days, there was no connection, like, for me. There was no investment in the characters because they were brand new to me.
Right.
Had they, you know, and I think what could have possibly happened, or could possibly happen is, you know, have them mentioned a little more. Like, it almost feels like if somebody's not on screen, they're not mentioned at all either. Even if it's a child, a kid that's, you know, living
yeah.
with a different parent on the other side of the country, they're not mentioned. So it's they're not fresh in, you know, in viewers' minds, or even reminding the viewer who they are, or introducing them as new viewers.
But
I know that Doris,
sometimes that can be overcome, though. Look at Stephanie, who, you know, obviously came through Beyond Salem, but,
right.
you know, they did, they understood that they had to link that and build that character. And Stephanie was a prime example of a good way to bring that kind of character back. But you're right. We don't hear anything about so many characters, and then all of a sudden, magically, you want us to be invested. Go ahead, Vinny.
Right. And I get that Soros happens. You can't. Theoretically, you cannot watch somebody in real time age. Now, you're right. We have seen it with Ian McCoy. We saw it with, Kimberly
right.
McCullough, you know. So we have seen it before, and I know that's a rarity, you know, because, you know, kids want to go to school. They want to pursue other interests. I get that. It happens. But if you could, you know, if there are the kids out there, whether it's going to be, you know, the newer generation, whether it's going to be Wiley or Violet or whomever, you know, if they're able to be locked in for a long-term contract or at least kept on recurring once in a while, so you can still have that emotional connection to the talent, to
yeah.
the character, then, you know, and maybe even – because the other thing that's going to happen is, like you were saying, the current writers can't write for younger performers, whether it's because they're out of touch, whether it's because of, you know, just the different generations. Maybe they have to start bringing in, you know, high school and college intern writers during the summer to write for those younger kids, because that would be more apropos for the characters. Whatever it is, you know,
exactly.
Open up
a writing program with UC something, yeah. and that would be a great idea. Also, you know, you do have other shows on the network. You know,
yeah.
do writing a weekend retreat between shows so that, you know, you can share the information. All right, before we leave, because I'm looking at the time, I got to play timekeeper tonight. Before we leave Salem, Candace, I'm almost imagining that there's one more piece you want to talk about.
Yep. Johnny and Chanel. Wait a minute.
No.
Let me do it. Wait a minute. Hold on. And the reason I'm clapping is because, to me, they are by far the best written couple on daytime television. And yes,
I would agree with you.
Because to me, you're not only giving us a situation that they're facing together as a couple, but also stuff that they're facing individually. Because sometimes when you get a pairing together, you forget mostly it's the female's identity. So let me say this right now. I find it very interesting Daisy has gone this route, but I'm glad they went this route because it's a topic that everybody is talking about. And I, for one, am very proud to say, Dave, you got me, because I really did think she was going to terminate that fantasy. I really did. But Dave was like this, Candace, baby girl, look, we fooled you with Doug, saying y'all thought he had Alzheimer's. No, he was really the devil. So guess what? Chanel and Johnny are going to keep the baby. But real talk. And here's the thing about EJ, because I saw a lot of people saying, well, EJ was wrong for what he said. No, he was being the concern. He was being the voice for everybody else in the back. He's like, Johnny, what do you want? What do you want to do? How is this going to affect you? Because you're being very quiet. But I understood Johnny. Johnny doesn't know what to say because the thing is that he doesn't want to offend Chanel. He doesn't want to say the wrong thing because he knows that this is a very sensitive and emotional topic, right? Okay, we got Chanel. Chanel is going to feel a certain type of way because partly the reason for this, because of what may be wrong with the baby, is her mama's fault. See, Chanel's going to feel a certain type of way, and I know everybody was like, well, she should feel a certain type of way to her mom. Yeah, she should, in a way. She's in her moment right now, you guys.
Yeah.
Because she feels as though her mother shouldn't have done this. If her mom didn't do what she did, there would have been a 75% chance that this baby and her, because here's the thing, I'm going to be wondering if something down the line is going to happen to Chanel. Even though Chanel has been cleared, who's to say in 6 months something's not going to happen to her? So, with that being said, Chanel feels a certain type of way. With Paulina, see, this is what I'm talking about. This is Umbrella. This is the Umbrella storyline. Paulina did what every parent would do. The police ain't doing anything. Such and such, y'all taking forever to the day. I'm going to go and find my baby. I don't care about my radiation. She wasn't thinking at the time. When you're a parent, look, no, even, I'm taking that. When you're about to do something, sometimes you don't think until after you do it, right? We're all guilty of it. So she was in that moment. But now she realizes, oh, crap. And she was like, I'm not talking to you. I don't care. Happy Mother's Day, whatever, bye. Like, you got another daughter you can talk to, bye. Johnny has to be the one to kind of be like, okay, I'm going to keep quiet for right now while I'm trying to get my stuff together. Because, again, Chanel is very vulnerable right now. And like EJ said, you know, maybe you need to terminate the pregnancy because who knows down the line what's going to happen. And I love the fact that Days of Our Lives has brought in Felicity. I like that name. I love the fact that we have the young lady playing her, and she's connected to homeboy in high school, their brother and sister. I like the fact that Chanel can talk to her and get her POV of how she's been treated growing up. You see, that's what Dave is doing. See, and I need for everybody to start watching Dave. In all honesty, I know Dave gets a lot of, but by far right now, if I'm going to be honest, Bone is entertaining me, but Dave has got me hooked. There's storylines on this show that I'm just like, yes.
So I structured this conversation this way because, honestly, you and I both mentioned Ron in our specific ways. There's a lot of good happening right now on campus. A lot of good stuff we hooked into. We pointed out a couple of things that you need to tweak and play with and bring back to reality, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know where you need to do some storyline, like jumping through the hoop right quick. But the stuff that's working is really, really working. We're really, really invested. So take the gift because it's more gold than it is work that needs to be fixed. Take the gift and continue and play with us.
This is the show that, you know, I think it's today. By the way, today is DJ Hall Day in Los Angeles. Hey.
Hey.
The fact that that this is the show that did Sid, that did Lexi's brain tumor, that did Zach. Like, they know how to do emotional storyline with a meaning. Because, again, when we heard Chanel was pregnant, especially the fact that she was exposed to radiation, and I'm guilty of it too, I sat down and I was thinking, what is Chanel going to do? If I was in that position, what would I have done? And I think the majority of us probably was thinking it's going to be a termination. Because it's a lot of stress. It's a lot of finances. It's a lot of things to deal with a child that I don't want to say not normal, because, look, all kids are not normal, okay? They just have their own...
To deal with a child that is going to need a lot of extra support.
Well, I always say they're unique superpowers. I always say that. Because that's what they have their own superpowers. You know, there's some things that, like, Anthony, you have your own superpowers. Like, you're a unique superhero. I'm a unique superhero. Vinny's a, you know, like, we're all different. But it is a little bit more, especially if it's Down syndrome and stuff like that, too. And I applaud Days of Our Lives, because, again, the Days of Our Lives are coming back into their fold. So this story actually started with Sherry Anderson and them a little bit. So I have to give credit where credit is due, is that I feel as though everybody sat down and looked at that whiteboard and was like, okay, this is how
we're
going to
keep this as much as we can.
We're going to keep this going because there's something there. There's something there. It's emotional and it's controversial. And you have your players. Because, yes, Dan has two stories that will be involved with kids. Carson Boltman and Raven Brooks, that's the stars. They're the stars of this storyline.
Yeah, Carson both of them are amazing. And the fact that they get to play with the supporting players that are also amazing. You know, Jack Hay, honestly, 2 years ago, I thought to myself, all right, what is she really going to do on Days of... Okay, Jack Hay, girl, let me do your Sandra. Ready? All right, we do really, really do need to move along. And since we really didn't touch on General Hospital at all, we're going to give them a little extra love tonight. Oof. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start out. I think that General Hospital made the absolute right choice. I put it all out there on social media, and this is exactly how I feel. You gave us red herring after red herring in this Gregory storyline. So we was waiting at one point for the miracle cure. We was waiting that it was somebody was giving him something weird. It was not happening at all. You took us down all the different roads. I love you, General Hospital, but ALS is not something that the rest of the symptoms you could do well. I love you, but this is not the storyline for you. So thank you for bowing him out in the middle of his sleep peacefully. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I have. Thank you for tying up all the loose ends. I thought the wedding, it was our version of a Luke and Laura wedding. You know what I mean? We got 4 days of wedding. We got multiple storylines coming to it. We got a classic soap wedding on a now so budget, but they, oh man. And Tracy, Tracy, man, you can't take one parent away from a child. Tracy has always been Edward Quartermain's daughter, and she's not going to stop being Edward Quartermain's daughter, but she is finally, instead of screaming and keeping her poor little Lila side locked in the attic like flowers in the attic, she done kicked that door open and let her come out, and the Lila side of her is amazing. Oh, my God, General Hospital, there's a lot of things you're doing right. There's some things you are still doing so very wrong. But this, allowing her to finally recognize she can have qualities of her mother and she can love the pieces inside of her that's her mother and all of that, oh, y'all have done good with that. Thank you for giving us as much Violet as we've got. And thank you for opening the door to bring back Caden. I don't want to take up all the oxygen in the room. Let's go to Vinny next. Vinny, what about General Hospital right now is titillating you? Good stuff. We'll get to the band in a little bit.
Absolutely everything. I think General Hospital is firing on all cylinders right now. I have been truly enjoying it. It's, in my opinion, it's can't miss TV at this point. I was kind of shocked that they did have Gregory die in his sleep. But you're right. It was the right choice because instead of having to really go through all the symptoms of ALS and having to play all that out, they just had him bow out, which I agree was the best choice. And if the rumors are true, it kind of gives Michael Easton the out as well, being that he's, you know, going back on his sobriety. And, you know, I am enjoying, I feel bad for, you know, the cast when they have to, you know, lose a member of their, you know, member of their roster who's, you know, who's passing away and they have to go through all that. And the scenes, in my opinion, over the past couple of weeks between Tracy and anybody, I am loving Tracy's new character. You know, she's still got the snark, but she's much more compassionate. Her friendship with Gregory changed her. And she even said that, you know.
Yeah.
Her, you know, her willingness to accept Cody. Her friendship with Stella, which I think is absolutely fantastic. You know, and the scenes that she had with Brooklyn before the wedding were priceless.
Jane Elliott, that scene with Ned, we have all, girl, yes. Candace, just for 1 second, have we not been waiting for 35 years for that scene?
We have.
Yes. Go on, Vinny, go on.
Yeah. No, I am truly enjoying it. And Jane Elliott could have chemistry with a broomstick. She's that good. But just the way that she has been portraying the new Tracy out of this world. If I didn't love Tracy before, I am in love with her now. And that's, you know, a credit to the writing team, but that's more of a credit to Jane Elliott.
I absolutely agree with you. To your overall point, I will definitely say that everybody, as far as the actors are concerned, are so on point. But the amount of dialogue that is happening, let's take Anna for a second. The amount of dialogue that is happening around Anna is about the writing, absolutely, but it's about Vanola being able to play it and give us, we are all in, okay. Having said that, I think it is firing on almost all cylinders. Any other storyline before we go to Candace that is really titillating you?
What I just want to say is overall, I think, you know, and I heard on Stephen Bradford's podcast recently when Kirsten Storms was interviewed that all the actors are excited when they're getting their scripts now. And I think that's what's also leading to the overall tone of the show being so positive in that the actors are in good headspace. They're not feeling bogged down by the scripts. They're excited to get their scripts. They're excited to see where things are going. I'm excited with Jason's character. I like the idea that at the core, he's the same. He's still, you know, protecting Carly, which is the entire reason why that he's, you know, undercover for the FBI. But I like that you're seeing the more complex character of Jason. You're seeing he and Sam having to work together for Danny and co-parenting. You're seeing, you know, the fact that Jake doesn't want to have anything to do with him. So he's got to, at some point, try to reconcile that relationship.
I'm going to stop you right there for a second, Vinny, and Candace is going to understand this. General Hospital, I'm going to make up an award right now. You are getting the You Finally Listened to Your Audience Award. For about 20 years or so now, a huge portion of the General Hospital fan base has always lamented that Jason had one storyline. He had so many arcs, and they would give us a moment with Monica, and Robin would come back and they'd have a moment, but basically he was always in one space the entire arc of the original Jason. And when they tried Jason 2.0, they tried to fix it, and it didn't work. It wasn't horrible, but it didn't work. This time, they have got it. Candace, it is your turn. What do you want to talk about, girl? And tell me you agree with me that they listened to us after all these years and allowed us to have all of Jason's, you know, rainbow orbit.
Here's what I'm going to say. I did see that interview with Kristen Storms, and that was, I think that was right. They filmed that real before the announcement about Patrick Mollicky leaving the show.
Yeah, that was tough.
I'm going to be honest. Candace is going to be honest real quick. I said this in real time, and I think Anthony heard me say it, is that Patrick is a pow-pow writer. And when I say pow-pow, he shoots for good storytelling. He shoots for for the dialogue that needs to be said instead of covering everything up. And so when Chris said that about the scripts and everything, I was like, well, duh. I was like, duh. This is the man that gave you click, click, boom. This is the man who gave you, if you got a light chance, he's the reason for the blackout. He's the reason for some stuff with Roger Thorpe. That's why Michael Zarco got his Emmy. There was, there was a different vibe. And, you know, I know Elizabeth gets a lot of heat, but she's been there for 30 years, okay? So she does know some stuff. But it's just the structure of the dialogue on General Hospital has just got me back in. With Jason's return, as we all know, this was a storyline that has been edited, rewritten, and all that three times.
Twice.
So with that,
twice.
Right. It was edited. It was written from Dan and Chris. Then it was edited. Then they rewrote some stuff, and now they're going to have to do an edit. Good grief, man. I like the fact that Jason isn't – okay, when he first came back, they shocked me in the sense of he wasn't going to be so cold this morning. You know, in the words of Alexis Davis, Sonny Caruso's right-hand man, a touch up. You know, he wasn't doing that. He had a sheer purpose. Do I think the purpose should have been Carly? We'll talk about that later on in the top. But I like the fact that he's more open. He's more open.
But wait, Candace, I'm going to break in here and say, though, I am sorry. There is a huge part of me, in a couple of months I'll make the final determination, but there's a huge part of me that's sorry that he did not come back, Jason Quartermain. I really liked the idea of that storyline.
Lewis's mama said Jason Quartermain, and I almost bust out laughing because I was like, did I miss something here? Like, because remember at the wedding, Lewis's mom was like, Jason Quartermain? Hi, baby.
Yep.
How you doing? And I said to myself, has nobody told this woman that he's not Jason Quartermain anymore? I mean, you know what I'm saying? But I'm thinking to myself, you know what? This is an old lady, and he's not going to say anything. But I thought it was weird he didn't say anything. But I'm like, okay, to me, I think because of what has happened, especially when Jason talks about the tattoo, I thought that was really interesting as well.
Yeah,
I do see a change in Sonny, and Jason that I have been waiting for. However, I also know that they can't allow Jason to go too far out of character. And I think for me as a fan, I have to accept that. I have to accept that Sonny and Carly are the base of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to learn that, but I do find him being interactive with his own family, like him going, the fact that he went to the wedding, I'm like, he went to a Quartermain family event.
Yeah.
Like, this is not a drill.
Monica.
And I was like, you know there's something else, but I also like the fact that Jason is dealing with, if I'm going to be honest, I like the fact that Jason is dealing with the fact of his children. We're Jason and Jason.
Yes.
I've been
I've been waiting for that too, Candace, but also the fact that there is a certain amount of people that is like, Jason is not a god, you know, and want to hold him accountable.
That's what I'm saying. Like the dialogue has been, because everybody's saying everybody's being written out of character. No, it's just for years, literally, people have wrote these characters as if they were God. When in all honesty, ourselves is not supposed to be worship. Okay?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not supposed to be worship.
And I'm gonna jump in here and say about Sam. Okay, I hear what everyone is saying, and to a certain point, you can look at it that way, and it is valid. But look at it the other way. She is older. She's 20 years older now. She has two kids. She's with a guy that she...
Hold on, Anthony. I'm bringing Elizabeth into this. Because here's the thing. For all of that she keeps saying. Well, Elizabeth and Sam, look, I'm going to be honest. Hey, Liaison fans. Hey, J-Sam fans. What's up? I'm y'all mutual supporters. But I always have said this. You can't blame Jason on all of this. It takes two to tango. Sam knew exactly what she was getting involved in with Jason. And so did Elizabeth. So for y'all, for everybody on social media to say that Elizabeth and Sam No, I love the fact that that dialogue was finally said. When Elizabeth said, I should realize what I did. Yes, because your actions have caused consequences. And I've been waiting, seriously, for General Hospital to have touched on this. Just like with Michael, a couple of years ago, I think Rob was there for this. There's a scene. Vinny, I don't know if you've seen the scene or not, where Michael was being sentenced to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge has said that because of Mike, one of the reasons that Michael has been driven to this point was because of the guidance that he was given by Jason, Sonny, and Carly.
Yep.
And everybody else failed him, except for Dante and everything.
Yep.
And I love that because now we have Jake. Jake feels a certain type of way. Danny, and here's the thing, folks, Danny actually has the closest relationship to Jason. Why? Because for a while, Jake was supposed to be dead. When Jake came back, Jason wasn't there. So, they have a real weird dynamic, but I'm here for it. I am here for it. I'm here to
Me
see
too.
How it's going to play out because Jason now has become the character that I've actually wanted. He now has to pick and choose his battles.
Yes.
He's been gone for two years because of Carly. Who's your girl? That's your girl. That's your ride or die.
But you got to answer for it.
Right. Because
but
for
you
got to
answer for it.
You made everybody believe you were dead. And like you said, Sam has matured. Elizabeth has matured. Your boys have matured. And your family. Welcome to your new world, Jason.
Yep.
Yeah.
And speaking of, you know, the characters, quote unquote, being written out of character, I have to laugh when people are saying that Laura and Anna are being written out of character because they wouldn't turn their backs on Sonny. And here's the thing. Laura being the mayor of the town, Anna being the police commissioner, should want nothing to do with an alleged mob boss.
Okay.
Now, granted, I understand. Yeah.
I hear you. But you can't ignore what we have been through for the last 20 years. That's the thing. You know, this is not the revelation that should have brought these two women to where they are. I'm sorry, they know him. They have been through crap with him. It's not fair to all that we have lived through at this point. Go ahead, Candace.
But not to cut you off, Minnie, but I got to say this. With Anna, she doesn't know Sonny as well. Okay. Anna wasn't there for when Sonny was there for Robin. Okay,
I understand that,
Anna wasn't there, okay? However, with Laura, there's a lot of... Okay.
They've been through cases. They've been through hostage situations. They've been through it all.
Sonny, Sunny has been a part of Laura's good and bad. Because here's the thing. When they came to town and whatnot, yeah, Luke and Sunny were cool and everything. Then you had Stone. Then you had Lucky kind of being like working for Sunny for a minute there, but not in that sense. But also Laura feels that Sunny has brought a lot of danger to her family. If it wasn't for Sunny, Nicholas wouldn't have gotten shot in the throat. Luke wouldn't have gotten hurt. Lucky wouldn't have died in the fire. Because, you know, she blamed him for a lot of things. But Laura, for those who keep saying Laura's being written out of character, even I'm going to even connect the Heather stuff. This is the same woman, folks, who for over 30 years was married to a rapist. This is a woman who looked at the good of the Cassadon. This is the woman who does believe, just like another certain young lady on the show who everybody was jumping on, believes that there is some good in that person that needs to come out. And she's been a cycle of that, where she's a part of the vet. She sees the good in people when other people don't see it. And she does try to push that agenda a little bit. To me, like with Sunny, like I said, Sunny has been a part of her world for so long. She knows the greater. She knows the good. She knows the bad. Right now, she has to be the mayor. Is she doing it right? No, she's not. Is Anna doing what she has to do? Well, yes.
I know, Candace, I agree with you that they're doing what they have to do, but what I don't agree with is that there isn't a conversation like, wait a minute, something off. We know this man. This is not the man we know. Something is off.
Well, see, I think we're going to get that, but not, like, it's a slow build. Because, like, with Sunny right now, nobody knows what's truly going on with him. And for those, real quick, who say he doesn't know
except
what's going
for Ava.
On. Well, except for Ava, but I also got to say this, too. Sunny knows something is off because there was a scene either last week or the week before. He was in his bathroom set, which because I said, oh, my God, Central Hospital is showing bathrooms now, where he's, like, patting his face, and he looks in the mirror, and he kind of has, like, a reaction. I use this term. When you are on your medication, and you're, like, saying you're taking 20 milligrams per day, right? And you get, you know, downsized to where they're now giving you, like, let's just say you go from 20 to 15. You're going to feel something, but at the same time, you don't know if it's the medication or something else. He knows in the back of his head something is off, but right now it's so much clout that he doesn't, you know what I'm saying?
He can't focus on it.
And when Carly was saying, get your blood work done, no offense, Carly. You said it. Now let him go because that's not your husband.
Right.
But
I think they set it up to the point.
Yeah.
No, sorry to cut you off, but I think they set it up to the point where Carly, the character of Carly, is the one that knows Sunny the best over everybody. I mean, they've been married 4 or 5 times or whatever. And I think that's reality. The fact that they're, you know, divorced, they're not in each other's lives, but they are co-parenting. She recognizes that that something is wrong, whether it's his meds or whatever. So she does care. She wants to make sure that he's okay. But you're right. She brought it up to him. She said, "Get your blood work done to check it." He's being defensive. He agrees to get it done on a defensive just to prove that nothing's wrong. And she has to be the one to follow through. She can't hold his hand and bring him because that's not her position anymore.
I agree with you, but in most Sunny and Collie, you know, people that have been all along the ride, we all know that she still loves him. She may not be in love with him that way, but she still loves him. It's not going to be, I spoke to him and now I'm done. And that's right. Not Carly either way. Honestly, and I'm going to be the one to say it, I hope this does not bring Sonny and Carly back together. This is the storyline that, you know, no. Let her go through it all and then still be independent Carly who she is right now. I just have to throw one more quick little thing in there. I'm sorry. I might be one of, like, 17 people on the planet, but I am loving Drew and Nina. Loving them.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I love it.
Yeah. I don't like anything else about him. In fact, I kind of cringe when he's in any other scene with anyone else. I cringe. But I am loving him and Nina. Go ahead, Candace.
Too late for me. It's too late for me. You had 2 years to do something like this, and you choose now all of a sudden for whatever reason. I think for y'all who knows what I'm saying, hit me up on Twitter. Now all of a sudden you're doing it. Like, to me, this was a not so good turn of events because I said this should have happened 2 years ago. This should have been set up 2 years ago. It's not like they didn't test Drew and Nina before, because they did. I don't know what happened. I have my thoughts and theories about it, but now all of a sudden you're allowing Drew to breathe. You're letting him be like, oh. Now, what really doesn't make sense is political person is now grooming him. Upset. Right. Okay.
And then that's where I'm saying General Hospital isn't on fire. I'm loving Alexis and the law thing, but this piece right there, no. Go ahead, Candace.
Okay, real quick about the Alexis thing. Again, to the writers, thank you, because we have to wrap this up. This is something, look, we fans have been screaming Alexis needs to be a lawyer so we can have the Molly versus Alexis battle. Because if you're not going to bring Serena Baldwin, I need to see mother and daughter go at it in the courtroom. I love the fact that you brought that back up. And yes, I know it was CG. I know that it was a death sentence, but I love the fact that Lane Davis was on. I like this. I'm like, come through, America. Yes, this is the second go around, but Dave Wallace can do it, so can General Hospital, God darn it. I love the fact that they're like having this conversation, because I was like this, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like, are they gonna bring up Santa Barbara? Like, you know how they do tongue-in-cheek stuff? And Patrick was there. So it's like, are they gonna say that this guy's been living in Santa Barbara with his daughter? Like, are we gonna have a moment where somebody says, you look like this guy knew back in the day? I was so waiting for all of that, but I'm glad that Alexis is going to, you know, it's the 30 days, which is actually a legit thing, to be reviewed. And I was like, but I thought that was kind of cute. Kelly and Mason back together again. I just thought that was cute. I was like, man, cue the music. But then, also, real quick, because there was something else that happened.
All right, well, Candace, you know, we spent some time, and we should, because we skipped them last week. All right, let's go to Los Angeles, girl. Fill us in.
Wait a minute, hold on. I didn't get nothing about the Finn and Gregory stuff.
Oh, go ahead.
Real quick, I'm going to be honest. Michael Easton, I clown you for a lot of things, but I think that was by far your best performance on the show. It was real. And like I said, I saw everybody saying certain things on social media. And, again, look, it could have, should have, would have. Greg Harrison should have been Jeff Weber. This should have been Elizabeth's story. It would have had more of an impact. However, with that being said, that didn't happen. To me, it kind of, personally, I got affected by this because we all have that parent or grandparent or great-grandparent, if you're lucky, that kept saying, you better hope I live long enough to see you A, B, C, D, F, G, right? So the fact that Gregory kept calling Chase, who was by far his favorite child, that, you know, I hope to see you marry the love of your life. I hope to be there, da-da-da-da-da. That was on his bucket list. the fact that Finn and him had an argument, that's real life, right? Like,
yeah.
Again, there's people that we probably had arguments with and we didn't call, and then we find out, you know, they passed away. I thought they deal with it the best way they could. I will say this. One of the hardest things to do is a parent explain to a child about death.
And so
the fact that Violet, you know, Violet was all excited for catching the bouquet, and then she was like, yeah, we got to go and stuff like that. But when Finn came home and he realized that nobody, like, you couldn't even hear a breeze. You could tell Finn knew something was wrong. When he went in and he did what he did, my heart broke for him. And I'm going to be honest, if you know the story, I don't know if Vinny or Anthony, if you watched the Alan Lasser, Michael Fairman stand up the cancer event, but it was revealed that Michael Easton was there when Kamar De La Rance, who played Antonio, passed away. He was in the room.
Yep.
So I'm thinking, oh, we got emotion on top of emotion here. The fact that his father is gone, and he replayed their final conversation, and then he explains to Violet what's going on, and then he goes ahead and he breaks his sobriety. Look, regardless, because this was a topic too, but he was doing drugs, regardless of the thing, he was trying to feel numb. So if he couldn't get the drugs, he had alcohol. That's another substance. He broke his sobriety because he was hurt. I thought the way he talked to Chase was really good. I thought Elizabeth, I had an issue with, because yes, she's dealt with this before because of Lucky, but also at the same time, that's her niece. Violet is her niece. So she's trying to get her out the house. Another thing is that when she said, and I'm going to be honest, I hate when people, I want to say hate, because hate is a strong word. I dislike when people say this, especially when it's the same day of the event. I can't imagine what you're going through. You're right, you can't. But see, that would have been my line. Like, you're right, you can't, Elizabeth. You can't imagine how I'm feeling right now. Because your dad and your mom have been gone for 25 years, so technically they're already dead to me. So that would have been my line. Thank you very much. I'm just here to say up my Emmy later. But, you know, she was doing it. But then what really got me upset was her and Portia.
Yeah. Oh, my God,
Let me, real quick, before we go to Los Angeles, Stephanie, the Portia and Elizabeth thing, because everybody's on debate, yes, they're friends. But like I said before, when you go through the hospital or general hospital's doors, your friendship is out the door. When you go in, you're working, you're co-workers. You can care and whatnot. Portia, I do think you came on a little too strong. Elizabeth, okay, you said, okay, I'll tell you, Finn, of course Finn drinking. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter if he was at home or at work. The man is now a liability. Because now that you told Portia, and now Portia may not go to the board. However, if something happens, if Finn says, oh, I'll be right back, I got to go to the locker to, you know, get some medication. Or if Finn drops a utensil, a medical utensil, or do a medical mistake, that's what Portia can do. Go to the board and say, well, Finn was, you know, reportedly drinking. Who told you this? Nurse Elizabeth Weber.
Yep.
So I'm just going to keep an eye on this. I think this may be connected to the alleged rumor that ME is out. But we'll see. We'll keep a watch on it. But I think that was by far a good point. Now we can go to Los Angeles, on to the bows and the wedding. You see how I did that, the bow and the wedding? Okay. So So General Hospital said that Brooklyn and Chase wedding was the event of the century or the year, whatever. No, boo. It wasn't. I mean, it was a great wedding. Love that wedding dress. However, the wedding of the year by far was Sheila Carter and DJ Sharp. Let me talk to you. Then you got that, right?
Okay. Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah. Now we have where everything comes up rose petals, right? Sheila and Deacon are in love. They're in love, y'all. So much love that they decide they ain't going to the beach. No, no, no. They're going to the Pizza Hut wannabe in the L.A. That's what it is. It's the Pizza Hut wannabe, okay? So they have it all planned out. The theme is nine toes deep. They had the nine-toes finger food. Which was so, I'm seriously, the set design is better get award because that was some good, I wanted some of that food. So, Sheila, you know, wanted one thing. She wanted her son to be there. And Deacon wanted Hope to be there. And Hope is like, I don't think so. And Deacon is like, it would mean so much to me if he be there. I know it would mean a lot for Sheila too. At the same time, Finn is being told, like, it would mean a lot for your mom, you know, if you can go, stuff like that. Steffi is like, don't you dare go because da-da-da-da-da-da. Hope felt a certain type of way, and as Steffi said, so basically you're controlling Finn what to do. And Steffi was like, we can't be near Sheila. Sheila's not good for our health. Speaking of health, Hope had some headaches and some tension when she saw Finn, and Finn decided to massage her, and then all the tension went away. Then before that, we also find out Luna is not pregnant. She's not pregnant, you guys. But again, the big talk of the town is this wedding. So what happened was, you know, it was family pizza night. So Finn went to the pizza place and, you know, Sheila and Deacon are getting ready to, you know, walk down the aisle and all that stuff. So that's your part. Hope is there looking like, why the hell am I here? And so then the lady tells Finn, there's like a private matter. Sheila and Deacon and Hope all see Finn. Sheila's like, oh, my God, I can't believe you're here. You're still here. And Tom, that's his name, right? Tom, right? Tom performed the ceremony. I got something to say about that. But Deacon looked out for him, and Deacon and Sheila are now married. But Hope is like, so are you going to tell Steffi where you was at? Because I know she's probably blowing up the phone. And Finn is like, yeah, I got to tell her the truth. And Finn did tell, if you watch today's show, full alert, he did tell, you know, Steffi. And then Steffi saw the photo that Tom took appear on the social media account of the pizza place. And, of course, William had something to say about it, too. But he was just there to get pizza and watch the kids, and then he left. Yeah. And that was Bone the Beautiful.
I'm just going to say
Wait, and also Poppy and Bill, they're starting something. And Katie, hey, girl, came, and she was like, so you had him first? And Poppy was like, yes. We had a deep love. Girl, you only had a one-night stand. And, you know, so Katie has a little bit of, I want to say, green on her face. So, yeah. But, you know, it's the Bold and the Beautiful. Go ahead,
Sue. Okay. So I'm going to say this. First off, I'm actually really liking Bill and Poppy. I don't know about long-term or anything like that. But it's giving me some good scenes. Girl, Katie, girl, please, girl. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about that. I expected nothing less from Sheila and Deacon, okay? they were acting out like they were on a reality television show. It was the best. I felt like this is so over the top. What's the word? I don't know, but it was like they were on a reality television show, and it was love is finally found, and love is celebrated, and love is blessed, and now we have drama, and I need my love. And then they show everything happened, and the fairy tale done come true, and I'm going to cause some trouble on the other side of it. Ooh, bonus. Yes, Bold and the Beautiful. Perfection. Benny?
I am so far behind, I can't even comment.
Yeah, but well, wait till you see it. Candace.
It's the wedding of the year. I'm sorry. Hands down, the wedding of the year. Let me tell you something. I never thought in the years that I've been watching these shows that Deacon Sharp and Phil Carter would be that couple. The couple, a married couple at that. You mean to tell me that Sheila is now Hope's stepmama and Sheila's and Steffi's mother-in-law? You talk about destiny gone like miserably wrong. Sheila is now connected to families that she went against for years. Okay? For years. And for this to happen, and even Hope, like, to me, okay, Hope, to me, I wish you would have actually backed down a little bit, because you did this when Deacon and Quinn were getting married. You actually asked your dad to pick and choose. And I know Deacon wouldn't have picked and choose, but the thing is that I'm so, I feel so like Hope is, she doesn't want to lose anybody anymore. She's lost, I mean, well, Franklin's on the way. Like with Liam, she's lost Thomas for right now. By the way, Matthew is coming back. So all those people who said he was fired and all that stuff, no, he wasn't. He was on vacation with his wife. Thank you. But, like, we got some drama there because Hope always wanted to know her dad and always wanted to have that relationship, a solid relationship with her father. So it was sort of like, in a way, Finn and Hope was bribed, but you know, blackmailed, I don't know what the word is, to be there. With Sheila, look, Sheila is getting all her glory right now. She got the man. She's got a new lease on life. She's letting everybody know she is Sheila freaking Carter Sharp. Lord, I can't believe I said it. And the fact that she has said, and I, Anthony, do you remember me saying on the show, I said, Finn is not going to be a participant in this wedding unless he was forced. And
yep.
That's what it was, because Finn is too, he didn't want to say no. He didn't want to cause a scene and whatnot. And then you got Hope over there, and rightfully so, giving him the look like, please don't let me be the only one here. Like, I am begging you with my eyes, do not make me be the one here. And I'm just saying, I'm just like, oh my God, my Finn. Because here's the thing, they were supposed to be on the beach. They were supposed to be married on the beach. But clearly they wasn't. So it wasn't like Finn knew exactly what was going on. He was caught off guard. And the thing is that Hope is right with, when it comes down to Finn and Sheila. Finn chose you, Steffi. He chose you. But you got to remember, Steffi, you denied him something. Before he met you, he wanted to know who his biological mama was. And yes, it's unfortunate that it happens to be the lady who has given your family for over 30 years misery. It's unfortunate, but you still kind of took something away from him. So, yeah, I'm curious because to me, Steffi, you know you're wrong for that. Because if the role was reversed, he would allow you to have that moment. But he's not stupid. He knows what Sheila is capable of. He's not going to be like open arms, open, you know, stuff like that. He knows what has happened. So when Steffi had found out where he was at, like, she's like, oh, so you went to the wedding? You went there? Let the man explain what happened before you go ahead and jump down his throat. And that's why I'm going to be honest. And I like Steffi and Finn. I really do. But this is why there's going to be problems. Which actually goes to what I said. This is all Sheila's plan. Sheila has been wanting to get at Steffi. She didn't have to do it. Yeah, a gunshot will do it, obviously. But the fact that she is driving a wedge between you and Finn, and you're going to make the ultimate sacrifice, Steffi, because of what he wants, even though he's still trying to give you something, but because you can't control the situation, you're gonna bust up with him. And Sheila's going to be like, yay!
Yep. Ding, 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 ding. All right, timekeeping. We really do got to jump over to Genoa City.
Yeah,
we know that's your show, Candace. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, first and foremost, I'm going to say this right now. Colleen Zink, Eric Braden, Christian LeBlanc, and J. Eddie Peck.
Yep.
Colleen and Eric plays off so well. So here's the thing. as we all know, Victor's had Jordan and himself for a while. Cole was asking, Victor, do you have something that you're not telling me? Of course not. I'll be damned. I don't know nothing. So then Cole follows Victor downstairs, right? And Cole sees Jordan, and Jordan's like, you can't turn on me. Your mother would be so disappointed in you. You know that, right? And Cole's like, I'll be right back. So Cole tells Michael what was going on, right? So Michael's like, are you serious? And Cole's like, yes, we got to do something. Meanwhile, Victor found out that Claire doesn't like Brussels sprouts because Jordan doesn't like Brussels sprouts. So Victor actually had a plate of Brussels sprouts and gave it to Jordan. If there's any parents out there listening to this show, I just want to let you guys know that Brussels sprouts, please don't force your kids to eat that because that's yucky. It really is.
Yeah,
it's
it is.
Yeah.
Oh, they're delicious if they're made right.
I'm with Candace on this one. I'm a hard no on the Brussels sprouts, no matter how they're prepared.
Even Jordan agrees. She was like, ew, what the heck? So then Jordan was like, you're going to pay for this. And Victor's like, all the stuff that you've done to my family, no, you're not. And the question that was brought up on social media and in our little chat stuff was, do we think Victor is wrong for doing what he's doing to Jordan? Personally speaking, hypothetically,
no.
If this was a real situation, yes. However, this is Victor Newman. Heck no. He's doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. Because the police can't do anything about her. This woman has snuffed out, burned, pushed, pulled, and everything to get out of the system. So Victor Newman knows only one thing to do, and that's protect his family, and that's what he's doing. However, on today's episode, he told Jordan, you can go to Paris. You can go to Europe. I'll fly you out there. And Cole's like, you're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing. And so before that, Victor crossed Jordan, not Cole. And Cole and them are like, you're doing the right thing, right? Well, Victor was like, no, because you and Michael turned and betrayed me, and I won't forget it. Cole, it's been nice knowing you. I'll sing at your service. Vinny and Anthony are going to be there too. We're going to do the four top. We're going to do some kind of song in your honor, because you know when Victor says you betrayed him, Michael should know what that means. But Cole, you've been in the game long enough, and for those who say, "Oh, Cole, this isn't like Cole," for those who are new to Cole, I understand that
yes,
you never really saw Cole. However, for us who've been there for 30 years. This exactly is Cole. Cole has always been nosy. He's always tried to play both sides of things. And Jordan was right. Your mom would be a little disappointed because you are choosing certain things. I'm here for it. Michael is Michael Baldwin. Okay. Now, the other story, the one that's touching my heart, is the Connor storyline.
Yep.
Connor's OCD is getting the best of him to the point where he is saying he's having these dreams and feelings that it would be much better if he wasn't around in Chelsea and Adam's life. Adam is the stronger parent right now who has to watch how he talks to Chelsea because Chelsea is sort of not there. Chelsea does blame herself for this situation while Connor is really going down. He's going down a really dark path. He's hurting himself. Real quick, I know we don't have much time. I will say this. Knowing what Josh Griffin went through with his daughter, because his daughter has OCD, they didn't know until she was 26 years old. The fact that this young child who's been through a lot is going through a lot and doesn't know what's affecting him right now. I will say this is by far one of the best stories right now on Young and the Restless. And dare I say, I said Dr. Chanel stuff was good. But all four soaps, you're right. Because I'm scared. I'm worried. And that's the emotion, and that's a reaction that is okay to have. Because you don't know what is going to happen. So I'm going to turn it over to Benny, I know you're not, I don't know if you're kind of caught up or you know what's going on. And Anthony, I would love to know what you guys are thinking so far about the storyline.
I'm going to
jump in
because
I know where Benny is with this. Yeah. First off, the performances are stellar. Absolutely stellar. The writing is great. You said it exactly right. I'm scared. I there's a pit in my stomach experiencing those scenes. So they got me. They got me. They're telling it right. I would tweak Chelsea a little bit, but you know, we can't have everything we want. I'm riveted. I am absolutely riveted, and I think I know where this is going. And wow, Young and the Restless, good for you. Do it right.
All right. Okay, so we got some. So then there's the Ashley stuff.
Go ahead, girl.
And Ashley, let me tell you again. Allen Davidson said, "Tanda, hold my hand. I'm pulling you through it." But it seems that something major happened in Paris. Or as I like to call it, Paris. So it looks like Audra's going to Paris, Tucker's going to Paris. Allen is saying some things. But Ashley and the officers, like the officers are saying, you know, yeah, we are protecting you. And Ashley wants to know what the heck they're protecting us. So we're going to Paris, apparently.
Stay tuned. We'll be back in 2 weeks with updates on all of these storylines and our feelings and possibly an interview. This has been what? I watched Forever in a Day. On Friday. All right. Good night, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Good night, everybody.